And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindebaum, being joined by possibly one of the biggest dicks, but one of my best friends in the whole world, and your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
That's me. How you doing?
I'm doing. Got through a less chaotic week, which is kind of a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been weird.
Yeah. But hey, we're talking wrestling.
Yeah.
So with that, we're going to start with news and notes. There's actually going to be kind of a rhythm to this one, or a type of order, which we usually don't have when we do this.
say that now.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get derailed. But
oh, for sure.
But the thing is that the reason I say there's going to be kind of like a rhythm or an order to it is actually because we can actually talk about more than just AEW and WWE in a way. And we're actually going to start off with Ring of Honor. It came out this past week that Ring of Honor will be returning to their home base in Maryland and begin running empty arena shows to continue their programming, which was obviously previously suspended due to the pandemic. ROH will be working closely with the Maryland Athletic Commission and consulting with doctors to determine the best course of action for a safe return. Wrestlers have been asked to do a 14-day quarantine for whenever the return date will be, and the tapings will involve a tournament that will start airing in September. It should be.
They were working on the Pure title, right?
Yes. And actually, I will be moving over into the next article to discuss that because they have announced some names for the tournament. It should be noted, though, that Delirious is returning as the head of creative for Ring of Honor because Marty Scurll is still on hiatus due to the speaking out movement. So moving on. Now, yesterday, Kevin Eck, who writes for Ring of Honor, issued the following details regarding the promotion's testing protocol ahead of the return to programming in Maryland. Obviously, as I noted before, it runs in conjunction with the Athletic Commission. If you want to read it, you can easily go to Ring of Honor's website. It's because it's a lot, and I'm not going to go for all of it. But what I am going to do is I'm going to hop over to the 16-man Pure Title Tournament as seven of the names have been revealed of the 16-man tournament. You're going to have Jay Lethal, Jonathan Grisham, Matt Sydal, David Finley, Tracy Williams, Josh Woods, and Wheeler Yuta. Several other stars like New Japan's Yuji Nagata and Ring of Honor's Mark Haskins and Joe Henry were forced to withdraw due to travel restrictions in place due to the pandemic. So those are your first seven for Ring of Honor. What are your thoughts on all of this? Given how we're going to be, New Japan came back recently. Now we're going to be getting Ring of Honor back soon. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I've not been paying a whole lot of attention to Ring of Honor recently. I had to be very honest with myself about the amount of time I could honestly spend watching wrestling. And the time I have to watch wrestling is NXT and AEW. It's like 4 hours a week, plus any specials or pay-per-views or whatever.
Yeah.
So I haven't really been able to keep up with a whole lot of what's going on in ROH. But, I mean, it seems like a stacked lineup. Lethal's a great wrestler. Gresham's a great wrestler. Matt Sydal's a great wrestler. David Finley's a great wrestler. Tracy Williams, I don't really know them very well. Josh Woods is popular. Wheeler Yuta is apparently popular as well. Sucks that Skins and Joe Hendry were forced to withdraw. I would actually pay a little bit more attention if they were involved, because I'm a fan of both those guys from the English scene. But yeah, just
yeah. And now also this is where a lot of speculation comes into where they could be taping. Could they tape it from their dojo in Baltimore? Or could they, because they have the partnership with them with MCW Pro Wrestling, and use the MCW Arena in Joplin, Maryland?
I would be very surprised, since it says returning to their hometown, if it wasn't Baltimore.
Yeah. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they used the MCW Arena, because it would actually give the arena feel. Whereas if you've actually watched on like Ring of Honor's like Future of Honor Facebook page and YouTube, the dojo is very restrictive.
Right. But at the same time, if you've watched, say, AEW, right? The reason that AEW's current programming works so well is, quite frankly, Daly's Place isn't like a normal arena. It isn't set up like a normal arena. You don't see a whole lot of the crowd all the time. One of the problems with the way that the WWE chose to set up the Performance Center initially is you could see the lack of a crowd, right? If there's no space for a crowd, you won't miss one.
Yep.
So I think the dojo would be the better option for them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what they do. At least they have options that they can work with. And that's the key thing. They actually have the options. Moving over to AEW, couple big things on the TNT side were announced. The first one was actually the TNT executive who supported and greenlit AEW Dynamite was actually released, and that was Kevin Riley and Bob Greenblatt. Now, for those, they may not be seen as huge deals. But the thing is that Kevin Riley was the person who greenlit AEW and is the reason why AEW is there with TNT in the first place. So him leaving may not have an impact on AEW right now on TNT, but could lead to potentially something down the road when AEW's contract is potentially getting ready to expire. Because he was also the reason they got the 3-year extension that they got. And then another piece of news is NBA programming on TNT is preempting Dynamite for a few weeks. The August 19th show will be moved to Saturday, August 22nd on TNT between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. Should be noted that this is a Saturday, obviously, and the second hour of the show will air head-to-head with the first hour of NXT TakeOver 30, which will be live on the WWE Network. And we'll talk about TakeOver a little bit later on the show. The August 26th show will still air on Wednesday. However, it will start after TNT concludes its NBA coverage, whatever time that may be. Dynamite will air another episode the next night on Thursday, on TNT in its usual time slot, so this could be another opportunity for a 2-night themed event. And then it's noted that the September 2nd and 9th shows will air in the regular time slot, and those will be the All Out Go Home and Fallout episodes, and then September 16th will not air that night, but instead will air the next day on Thursday on TNT in the usual time slot of 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. So you got some preemptions. I honestly, the August 26th one was a little different from what we originally heard, because we just heard it was just going to air the next day.
Yeah.
And now they're saying that they're going to have it air after the NBA coverage is done and then do another episode the next night, which is kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. That's actually good for NXT, because it'll give them a chance to not have to compete with anybody. But it's also, in a way, you know.
You say that, but.
Yeah.
I mean, this and something else recently reminded me how juvenile of a company AEW is. And I don't mean that to mean they're poking fun at each other or whatever. I mean young, right? I don't mean... Because... Even with the what's the word I'm looking for? Even with the popularity of the show, right? They're still being preempted. And the other thing that really reminded me of how young of a promotion AEW actually is the release of their action figures, right? Because we'll get to those in a minute.
Yeah.
But I'm looking through Twitter, right? And like every single AEW person is retweeting and tweeting things about the action figures, right?
Yep.
And I just sat there and thought, that is the perfect demonstration. That's the word I'm looking for. Demonstration of how young AEW is as a company, because they're still excited over action figures. You don't see like Vince and Stephanie and Linda tweeting every time like a WWE Jax line comes out, do you? Or Mattel, or whoever's making them now. Like, I was like, imagine a world where like you'd see Vince purposely going into a Walmart to look for his own figure, like you've seen Cody do recently. Or you've seen Brandy do recently.
Yeah.
It was just a very interesting observation to me. And side note on another interesting observation. As of this week, AEW has now had more shows in the pandemic era than not. They've had more shows with no crowd than with crowds at this point.
Well, except for this past Wednesday. Because they start...
It doesn't count, dude. They're not in an arena. They're not... They're still in the pandemic era.
Yeah. But they have actually legitimately started bringing in fans as of this past Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah,
like they lambasted the WWE so hard for their treatment of COVID early, and then this week they let people into the arena and didn't make Chris Jericho quarantine for 14 days.
And it's especially really hypocritical. And we'll get back to the toy line in a little bit because I was actually able to get my hands on one. But it's super hypocritical of AEW to not put Jericho into a 14-day quarantine. And like, yeah, we get it. He's getting tested all the time, just like everybody else is.
But tests aren't 100%.
But the thing is, though, is that Mox stayed home when Renee tested positive as a precaution. And he did the 14-day quarantine.
To the point where it canceled a main event of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and pushed it back like a week. And honestly, I'm happy that Mox did what he did because it shows that he took it seriously. But then they poked fun at Mox for doing the right thing. And then when you do the wrong thing by having Jericho on the show, it's a completely hypocritical statement there.
And the fact that when they were called out about it on Twitter, like Cody was basically saying, oh, I'm sure he's taking precautions and he's in a bubble and all of that. And people just posted pictures of Jericho basically hanging over the crowd and Cody deleted his tweet.
Well, it's interesting because we know that since the pandemic has started, and actually it really started like a couple months ago, Jericho now does every Saturday at like 8 or 9 p.m. Eastern. He'll do like a Facebook Live session where he does a Q&A essentially with the fans. And when everything kind of came up about this tour, because he went to four places and then he did Sturgis. And this is where the big issue was with Sturgis. Yeah. You know, the previous four shows that he did were at very small venues where they had like 25% capacity, but which is fine. And then because you've seen other bands do that where they do like a 25% capacity compared to a, you know, full capacity or 50% capacity. And he also said that like when the band is strictly staying together in their thing, and then when it's time to go on stage, they go up on stage, do the show, and then go back into the tour bus. So he did note that they're taking those precautions. But then when you hit up Sturgis, where there's thousands of people, and you do a show in a packed place like that, you just can't do that right now.
Right. Correct, and, correct, correct.
Yeah. So, and like even Jericho even openly admitted that like the four previous shows, apparently they forgot to postpone them or something like that. But because they're in like this low impact areas, that's why they did them. So, but yeah, it's just, come on, AEW. Yeah. You have Taz call WWE a slap shop for how they've handled the pandemic. And then you do that.
Not saying anything.
Yep. I want to go back to the toys real quick because you brought them up. So I was actually able, and I'll put a picture on the website for people to see, but I was able to get my hands on the AEW title.
Yep.
I will say I also picked up the NXT title from WWE, and I'll put them side by side so that way you guys can have a kind of comparison between the two. Mm-hmm. I actually like the quality. I showed you a picture of them, Ben. You thought the quality was pretty good too.
I've been watching a whole lot. I've seen some like actual like YouTube toy reviews on the belt that sort of like give a lot more close-ups than you gave me.
Yeah.
From everything I've seen, it's okay.
Yeah.
It would definitely go well for a bunch of kids wanting to have a
title belt.
Title belt.
The one thing I will say is that my local Walmart, which is where I got this,
yeah,
there were three AEW title belts,
yeah,
two rings, that's it.
Yeah.
A friend of mine posted on Facebook, and I sent you that post.
Yeah.
Guys and gals, please don't buy the pallets of the toys and then sell them online. That's a really dick move because there are people, you know, somebody just wants to show up and just grab a figure. They shouldn't have to like go to their store and be like, oh, sorry. So this dude just bought the entire pallet of AEW figures.
Look, anyone who really wanted to, the toys have more than enough time to pre-order them.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, but still, there are people who would be like, you know, I like honestly, I wasn't even looking for him.
Yeah, you just spur of a moment thing.
Yeah, I was just like, I had to go there. I needed to pick up a couple things, and I was like, you know what, I'm here. I'll just hop by the toy section real quick to take a look. So
here's the thing, right, is I was talking about this with, I remember who I was talking about it with, but I was kind of, taking a second to sort of appreciate the situation we're in, and I still don't get some of the decisions they made for the first wave of figures for AEW, right? But it's nice to have them, you know. at the same time, just it just sometimes feels like they're a bit of marks for themselves.
That's how it's been feeling like for a while now.
I mean, I sent you that video clip, right?
Yeah, where, from being the elite.
From being the elite, where in the space of 5 minutes, they had some really good storyline development and then just utterly undercut it.
With the Dark Order
with Chili's. The Dark Order taking the Chili's advert. It was just... And Kenny going back to his silly way of talking and just... I don't know. There's been so much good work that they've been putting in on being the elite with building the Hangman, Kenny, Young Bucks, FTR story. And none of it's making its way to TV. And it's just annoying the shit out of me. And I know that... I know I say this every time, but it really would just make their content so much better. And then there's the...
Like honestly, and you and I have talked about this too, it's like, if they took just some of the storytelling that they've been putting on being the elite onto Dynamite, I'd probably be watching Dynamite. You know?
Speaking of storytelling... And AEW. Have we discussed AEW heels on here yet?
Not yet. We also still have the releases, and we can talk about heels in the Deadly Draw tournament.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So real quick, we'll take care of our last AEW note, which is AEW on Wednesday release Thaddeus Gibbs, B. Priestley, and Jimmy Havoc. Right.
For the 9 millionth time, it's Sadie.
Sadie Gibbs. B. Priestley and Jimmy Havoc. Havoc, not much of a surprise there, but B and Sadie is a little bit.
Well, they are and they aren't. Like, yeah. Havoc pretty much came out when the whole speaking out thing happened and was like, I'm done with wrestling. Even if, like, everything else hadn't happened, you know? And B. Priestley and Sadie are literally... They've let them go because
they're in the UK.
They're in the UK and their contract's expired. And both of them have said on Twitter that they fully expect to be back working in America when the pandemic is up. But until then, they can't really blame AEW for doing what they did.
No. And not only that, but Tony Khan has openly stated that he didn't want to release anybody there, but there would be times when he'd have kind of his hands tied. And this is just one of those situations with these three where his hands were kind of tied in the situation.
Yeah. There's a lot of people comparing this to the fact that WWE released a bunch of people earlier in the pandemic. And I pointed out that WWE and AEW are different because AEW paid these people for 10 months.
Yeah.
Or at least Sadie and
Well, the WWE actually did pay everybody who they released for the 90 days.
Right, but they didn't keep them in contract.
Yeah.
Right, which is different.
Yeah.
Especially since AEW made a big deal that their contracts come with, like, health insurance.
Yeah.
So,
AEW heels and the Deadly Draw tournament.
We have another AEW EVP that's rage quit Twitter. And two AEW EVPs that have previously rage quit Twitter trying to make out that they didn't just rage quit Twitter. So AEW Heels is a new, we'll call it an initiative, because cash grab sounds too accurate, by AEW to provide a place for female wrestling fans or female identifying wrestling fans to gather in what they call a safe, non-judgmental space. And they're charging $50 for it. There was some pushback on this. The main argument being promoting something as a safe space for women after the speaking out movement happened and charging $50 for it is incredibly mercenary. The only thing they have promoted that you are going to get for your money is lifestyle seminars.
Yeah, I think maybe if they did the price tag a little bit lower, like just $10. Don't
provide a price tag.
Yeah, or don't provide a price tag. Because, like, yeah, it was like, what, lifestyle tips?
Social media guidance.
Social media guidance.
Which is great from someone that just rage quit Twitter.
And then I think the other one was the ability to be part of, like, interactions with some of the female wrestlers. Yeah, I was like, I think that
the
was...
But the point being, right, there was a lot of pushback on this, and Brandy deleted her Twitter account. Cody posted later saying that she deleted her Twitter account because she was getting a lot of racist stuff sent to her. I can understand that. It's just incredibly coincidental that the breaking point came just after she got called out for
heels.
For heels.
And not only that, but also getting called out for the Deadly Draw tournament, too.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk about the Deadly Draw stuff, because I've not been paying as much attention to that.
Honestly, I haven't been paying much attention to it either. We just know the basics.
And then Matt and Nick Jackson on their Instagram posted the reason they quit Twitter is because it got to a bit too much when people were posting maps to their houses. And I'm like, yeah, sure. Okay. But I don't know. The heels thing just stuck in a lot of people's craws. And I'm going to say, don't send people racist or sexist shit on the internet. Don't threaten to go to people's houses. But the timing was incredibly coincidental. Now, what was going on with the Deadly Draw tournament?
I mean, that's what I'm trying to find right now. So apparently, like, obviously Deadly Draw has been, like, exclusively on YouTube, and the finals match is actually going to be on
All Out, right?
No, it's going to be on TNT this upcoming Saturday, because what they're doing is they're trying to treat this upcoming Saturday as a special, and I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe try to put the Deadly Draw during the hour that goes head to head with NXT. So essentially, here's the premise of the thing. So you pick these cards, and the cards determine who your tag team partner is. Coincidentally,
The poker chips.
Yeah, or the poker chips. Yeah. Coincidentally, Brandy and Allie ended up being a tag team.
Oh, they didn't choose. They just got to be a tag team.
Yeah. You had Nyla Rose with Arian Andrews, formerly known as Cameron in WWE. Rachel Ellering teamed up with Dasha.
That was weird.
And then they took on Eva Lys and Diamante, who they won that match.
Here's the thing: it is of the tag teams in the Deadly Draw tournament, like three or four of them are actual tag teams.
Yeah, like right? Big Swole, Little Swole.
Big Swole, Little Swole. Nightmare Sisters, Diamante and Ivelisse, and what was the other one? Come on, brain.
Oh no, but anyways,
it's far too early in the morning for this.
Yeah, but anyways.
But the point is, some of them are random partnerships, and some of them aren't.
Yeah. But anyways, on August 22nd edition of AEW Dynamite, you're gonna have the finals, which is gonna be Big Swole, Little Swole versus Tay Conti and Anna Jay. So that will.
What happened to the Nightmare Sisters?
They lost to Big Swole, Little Swole.
Yeah.
And these are according possible. This is actually just came out yesterday, and these are the actual possible spoilers. Have leaked for the next episode of the tournament. The show will feature the two semifinal matches in the tournament, with the finale taking place on August 22nd. So I think this is two. I don't even know when this even air. Oh no, it's set to air on Monday.
On Mondays.
Yeah. So on Monday, this is Monday's episode already. So sorry for spoilers. Question mark. So yeah, Big Swole and Little Swole are going to defeat the Nightmare Sisters, and Tay Conti and Anna Jay are going to defeat Ivelisse and Diamante to advance to the finals.
Okay, I wonder if there's going to be shenanigans there, because this whole thing just reeked of being put together so the Nightmare Sisters could be a thing, right?
Yeah. Oh, look, I actually found an image with the actual bracket. Let's pull that up, shall we? So in the quarterfinals, you had Penelope Ford and Mel take on the Nightmare Sisters. And you had Ray Chanel and Leva Bates take on Big Swole, Little Swole. In the quarterfinals, you had Ivelisse and Diamante take on Dasha and Rachel Ellering. And then you had Nyla Rose and Arian Andrew take on Tay Conti and Anna Jay. And as we've already mentioned, Tay Conti and Anna Jay defeated Ivelisse and Diamante in the semifinals, and Big and Little Swole has already defeated Nightmare Sisters.
So the way I'm looking at this, there are two people in this final that aren't signed. Because Tay's not signed, and neither's Little Swole.
Yeah, I believe so.
Huh.
So... And that was one of the other interesting things about this whole Deadly Draw, is that how it's been touted that they love the fact that it's been on YouTube. And I'm sorry, but again, this kind of runs into the problem of, if you don't put something for it on television, nobody's going to know what the hell's going on.
Yeah. I understand that the wrestlers involved are happy because the women have got a whole show, right? Yeah. That's cool. However, this is another one of the complaints that was leveraged at AEW Heels. The most recent episode of AEW Dynamite, which happened on Wednesday, had exactly 5 minutes of women's content. And 2 minutes of that was an interview with Hikaru Shida going, "I still don't have a challenger for my title." And the entire AEW fan base went, "Pick literally any woman. Just do something."
Yep. Yeah, and actually, I just thought of this. You know, the Mae Young Classic, when WWE did it. You know, and I'm going to deal with more of year two. The year two, they put the finals on Evolution, the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, though, is that because it was on WWE Network, everyone was able to watch it. Everyone knew about the Mae Young Classic.
In all fairness, yeah. Everyone can access YouTube.
Yeah.
The difference being, the WWE mentioned the Mae Young Classic in their programming.
Yep. And they actually promoted it in their programming.
Yeah.
So, it's just, come on, AEW. Come on, AEW. Oh, Ben, I got a note from your agent here. I can't move on to AEW, or from AEW to WWE, because I have this big, massive note saying next episode, Ben wants to talk about when he was most engrossed in AEW.
Right.
And it's right. in like a really bold 60 size font.
So this was brought about by not the most recent Dynamite, but the Dynamite before. Santana and Ortiz had a tag team match with Best Friends. And yes, I'm aware they're putting Santana and Ortiz and Best Friends into a storyline, but they've been kind of teasing an on-off storyline for a while with the whole background to the Orange Cassidy thing. But anyway, it struck me that Santana and Ortiz have never had a match for the titles.
Yeah.
And the reason why I posted the moment I want to talk about when I was most invested in AEW. And people say, oh, it's because it was like right at the beginning of AEW, therefore it was new, therefore you were invested. But when Santana and Ortiz were coming around and laying waste to the Young Bucks, and they were cutting those intense backstage promos about it being on site and how they were the best and how the Young Bucks only had one title that they were interested in, and that was the best tag team in the world and things like that, right? And they were the most intense tag team in the company. And that didn't play into anything. They beat the Young Bucks full gear, right? Yep. Which was awesome because I was there. And then the Young Bucks beat them on an episode of Dynamite. And then they just kind of went their separate ways and ended up coming back together to feud like 6 months later for the Stadium Stampede match.
And then who knows when they'll come back and do the Blood and Guts match.
Yeah. Like, I often say, people are very forgiving of AEW, right? Because they're a young company. Santana and Ortiz have been completely wasted in AEW. If you look at what it was like at the beginning and go look at them now, I would dare say they have Zack Ryder'd Santana and Ortiz. They've taken something that was very, very hot, very, very popular, and they've just shit on it. And I hate that.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely disappointing. Definitely disappointing.
And now we're going into this special, right? Of AEW's on the Saturday.
Yep.
And I don't know, there's not a whole lot special about it. Like, the only thing we've got really is Brody challenging Cody. Is there a tag title match as well? I can't remember.
Let me do a quick look. I don't have AEW August 22nd card. Let's see here. Darby Allin will be in action.
All right.
Jericho versus Cassidy.
Again?
Yeah. Let's see here. Hold on. I'm taking a look.
After the botched.
Oh, no. Hold on. No. No, correction. Here we go. Here's the real card. They're doing a review of the previous week. Yeah. So you have FTR versus Private Party, the Elite, the Elite of Bucks and Omega versus Alex Reynolds, John Silver, and Alan Angels or Angels of Dark Order. Finals for the Women's Tag Team Cup Tournament. Darby Allin in action. Lucha Brothers, The Butcher and the Blade versus Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, QT Marshall, and Dustin Rhodes. Right. And then Cody versus Brody Lee for the TNT title.
Right. So the finals is Big Swole, Little Swole, and
Tay Conti and Anna Jay.
Right. So of the card you just read me, right?
Yep.
Across all of the top fives, right? The only people you listed were FTR, Young Bucks, Cody, and Brody Lee.
And Omega, because he's in the six-man tag.
Yeah, but he's he's not in the top five for singles.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Right.
So yeah, like honestly, only
you would think they'd actually, if they wanted to make it an event, they'd push anyone.
Like honestly, I'm throwing this out there now. You're probably gonna have FTR, Private Party, Cody, Brody Lee. Well, Brody Lee is probably gonna end the show.
Yeah, that'll be your main event.
But I could see FTR, Private Party being in that second hour that goes head to head with NXT.
Uh-huh. In fact, Private Party aren't even in the top five in the AEW tag rankings.
And then maybe the Elite versus Dark Order in the second hour.
Yeah.
To go against NXT. Everything else will probably be in that first hour. Like Darby Allin being in action, the eight man tag, the women's tag team match.
Big Swole is top five, but it's not a tag thing. So, fun fact, Britt Baker's been out of action for how long?
At least 2 months.
Yeah. Still in the top five.
Ratings don't make sense. Or the rankings. I said ratings.
Shikaru Shida saying, I don't have a challenger at the moment. Weird, because Nyla Rose is sitting at a 7-2 record at the top of the top five, and everyone else has had a shot in the top five, had a shot against you recently. So when does Nyla get her turn?
Yeah. I think the better dialogue is that I've defeated everyone who's next to challenge me.
Should have been a bad one, because she's in the top five at 3-1.
Yep.
And she's never had a match against Hikaru.
So there you go. Book that match. There you go. You got yourself a match. Do it. Do it right now. So.
Let's take a quick break, and then let's move into WWE news, and then SummerSlam and NXT, right?
Yep. All right. Sounds good.
Cool.
All righty. We are back, and we're doing WWE now this time around. Ben, I'm actually going to let you take with the first bit of news and notes. Ooh, so special. Yes, we are.
Yes. I feel so privileged. So it has been rumored for a very long time, but today, as of time of recording, the much rumored indie promotions appearing on the WWE Network is going to begin, basically. Long story short, for the last year, there have been rumblings about WWE uploading events from some of their, what people have called feeder
territories.
Companies,
yeah.
Territories, however you want to put it. And the finally that is coming to fruition, because we are going to get pay-per-views from WXW in Germany, ICW, Insane Championship Wrestling in Scotland, Evolve.
Who WWE has confirmed that they have purchased.
Yep. And Progress. Now, this is notable because Progress and WXW, you will get a lot of Volta and a lot of the folks from the NXT UK side of things. You'll see some of them in on the ICW show as well. But the most noteworthy things you're going to see on the ICW show and on the Evolve show are two people. Keith Lee, because Keith Lee came up through Evolve.
Yep.
You might see him on the Progress shows as well, because he did do some guest spots over in the UK. And both Evolve and ICW are going to have a whole lot of Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Better known as Drew Galloway at that, on those shows, probably.
Yeah. And not only that, but like with the Evolve library, you're also going to end up seeing a lot of like Johnny Gargano or, I'm part of
the... Well, this is the thing, is they're not uploading
everything.
The whole libraries right now. They're uploading specific things. Like they're doing like a best Keith of Lee. Drew McIntyre. They're doing a best of Keith Lee. They're uploading WXW's Ambition 11, which was basically Volta and Timothy Thatcher beating the hell out of people for a night, which I'm okay about. And the other thing they're uploading from WXW is their Femme Fatale tournament from 2019, which was pretty cool. And Progress... they're uploading chapter 92, which is headlined by that one was Volta versus Ilya Dragunov, which is a pretty good match. But the I'm a bit of a Progress fanboy, I'm not gonna lie to you. But I was never a big fan of Walter's Progress title run. Not a big fan of Walter, let's be honest. I think that's been
very clear.
But I do like me some Ilya Dragunov. And that the other thing about, and I probably know a bit more about Progress and I do the others, like I don't know whether they'll have the dark match, but like you're also gonna see Jonathan Gresham and Eddie Kingston, which is weird since Eddie Kingston just signed for AEW and Jonathan Gresham's on our Ring of Honor. And you'll get to see a really cool up and coming young two really cool up and coming young English tag teams. One called More Than Hype, which are an Irish team. And you'll get to see the team of Do Not Resuscitate, which is William Ever and one of my favorite wrestlers, Spike Treve. And I'll stop gushing about that show now and tell you that the and from ICW, you're going to get Shug's House Party 5 Night 2. I don't know as much about Shug's House Party on that one, but what I do know is that is the one where Jeff Jarrett was commissioner for the night. And I think Grado, you'll get to see some Grado and you'll get to see some Piper Niven, better known as Viper. So yeah,
lots of good stuff.
I'm hoping that this leads to more from both. Progress I'm not that worried about because I have my Progress subscription and I can watch all of Progress whenever I want. But things like WXW, Evolve, and ICW, it would be nice to see more of on there.
Well, I think because WWE now owns Evolve and we've seen them sign a couple of the talents already, I wouldn't be surprised if we get all of Evolve up the network, kind of like how we do with ECW and WCW and stuff like that.
I hope so.
Yeah. And actually, that's a good little thing. Quick little note about 205 Live before we hop into the heavy stuff.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the two creative guys who are actually behind it is Adam Pearce and Mick Foley's son, Dewey. They are actually the head of creative for 205 Live. So kind of cool little tidbit there that kind of came out in the past couple of days. So 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Raw, we were introduced to something that is Shane McMahon's brainchild. And that is something we call the Raw Underground. And obviously, Ben, you and I will talk a bit about some things like about week one and week two, what we may see in the weeks ahead. So like week one, we would see Dabu Kato really kind of take over both weeks. That's like kind of Shane's guy. What was his name?
We saw him.
He was Leo Rush's.
Babatunde.
Yeah, because he was originally with Leo Rush on the NXT house shows.
Yeah.
And but yeah, now he's going by Dabu Kato. Something like that. And at the end of week one, the Hurt Business of MVP, Bobby Lashley, and Shelton Benjamin kind of like took over. And they said that they run the Underground now.
And then didn't show off at all in week two.
Which is fine for one reason, which we'll get to right now. And that is the fact that on week two, they actually featured female fighting. Notably, Shayna Baszler. And I think the fact that not having the Hurt Business on week two isn't a bad thing because of the fact that it let Shayna shine. Now, if they don't bring Hurt Business back this upcoming Monday.
Right, they didn't have to necessarily fight.
They just had to be there.
Right, just have them in the corner with like sitting on some couches, drinking champagne, watching the fights.
I mean, you got rid of the dancers, so you had a spot to put them now. So, but I agree with that. You could have done something minimal that just kept them in the picture.
They didn't need to fight. They just needed, because they made a statement that they ran underground.
Yeah. And I mean, but let's see what happens with week three, week four, because obviously you would expect them, like, because they also still have the program with Apollo Crews because it's SummerSlam, as we'll talk about later. MVP is taking on Apollo Crews for the United States title.
Yeah.
So, maybe it's something where they go, yeah, we run this, and then stay away, take care of the SummerSlam business, post-SummerSlam, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But there's an interesting article that came out 2 days ago from CBR.com about what the end game for Raw Underground could be. Could it be Brock Lesnar? Now, we just talked about the Hurt Business, who has Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, I like the very first two things that came to my mind were, this is leading to Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, or this is leading to the return of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. And honestly, I could see if Shayna does more with Raw Underground, and I know Sonya Deville has openly noted that she wants to be part of Raw Underground, in particular take on Shayna Baszler, because they're both MMA fighters, that could bring in a very interesting dynamic to it as well. That could then lead into a Ronda Rousey return. But yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. I mean, yeah, we're only 2 weeks into this. So I just got to ask you, in your opinion, what have you thought of the feel, the look, the vibe of Raw Underground so far, just after 2 weeks of it?
I like it. It's different. I don't think it can be a part of the show long term.
It has to have a payoff.
It has to have a payoff. It can't just be another title, because they barely use 24/7 title as it is. I do want to see the 24/7 title show up in Underground at some point, and someone like knock out the 24/7 champion,
which right now 24/7. Which is right now R-Truth again. Nothing against R-Truth. We just want the title away from
at this
him.
Point. It's yeah. just boring. When like on Raw Talk the other week, Dolph asked R-Truth how many times he's been champion, and R-Truth was like 38 or something. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I really enjoyed it the first week until the Hurt Business showed up. And then in week two, when they didn't show up, it was pretty good. I don't think it should be as much of a focus as it is. I think they should only do like one match a week. And I think they should make a bigger deal out of it. Right?
Yeah. Because one thing I've noticed is that like we've also seen Eric from the Viking Raiders.
Yep.
We've seen Riddick Moss return this past week in the Underground. Yeah. We've seen Dolph Ziggler fight in the Underground.
Yeah.
So one of the other things that this could legitimately do is actually help make certain people be taken more seriously by fighting within this. Because, like, let's be honest, Viking Raiders, great tag team. But they've been stuck in, like, comedy stuff for a while with the Street Profits.
Right, but then they do the segment on Underground, and then the very next week they're back in a comedy segment again.
Yeah, and which doesn't make sense. It's like, you could use this as a way to, like, make, like, you could legitimately make a team like the Viking Raiders a fucking scary-ass tag team for Raw Underground. You know, and then you bring them back, and then it's kind of...
You could have just not nicknamed them Eric and Ivar and have them continue beating people up, because that's what they were doing, and it was great.
Oh, yeah, no, I completely understand, but for, like, the main audience, like that casual audience who's seen him in the comedy sketches, this is your opportunity to bring them back to that.
But your question was, what did I think of Raw Underground? I think it's good. They just can't overdo it.
Yeah.
And they need someone other than Shane on the microphone.
Maybe, and again, that's something, like I said, maybe after SummerSlam and they're done with the the Apollo Crews storyline, maybe you can get MVP on that mic.
Mauro Ranallo.
Mauro Ranallo would be really good too. Instead of having like, who is it? Tom Phillips and them do it. You could have Mauro on it.
I'm just talking about on the microphone in general, because Shane's sort of emceeing.
Well, see, the problem, yeah, he is. But the problem is that if you were to do Ranallo, you'd have to pipe him in, because he's actually Beth Phoenix have actually been doing NXT from their home studios. Yeah. So if you were to do that with Ranallo, you'd have to pipe him in.
Yeah, for sure.
But at the same time, you know, like maybe if they start getting to a spot where they actually can do, you know, bringing people in, like Ranallo is actually comfortable coming in, then yeah, I would say get Ranallo emceeing the thing. Because that would be great. Yeah, Ranallo would have I think he would have a blast doing that.
Yeah.
So
the other thing that a lot of people have speculated is that Underground is going to be tied to the new faction.
Retribution.
And that it's like Shane scouting for the faction.
I don't know. I think they're two completely different things.
Honestly. I do too, but
especially the fact
it would be an interesting wrinkle.
It would be an interesting wrinkle, but at the same time, if you really notice things, Raw Underground is strictly to Raw, whereas Retribution is wreaking havoc on both Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah.
More noticeably on SmackDown, especially after what happened last night, where they legitimately attacked John Morrison and Big E, and then attacked Drake Wirtz and another referee and a backstage talent. So I think Retribution's going to end up essentially becoming SmackDown's problem, whereas Underground is going to be, well, it already has Raw in the title, so it's going to be more of the Raw thing when you look at it that way. Which is fine. I mean, you can have Retribution still do stuff on Raw, because it actually worked with the Randy Orton, Ric Flair thing for the Punk Kick, which was actually smartly done with the way they did it. Because it, you know, they don't want to show people getting kicked in the head and stuff like that with the Punk Kick or something. Why not have the lights flicker out? So it was kind of smart when you look at it from that perspective. So yeah, Retribution we'll get to later, because there's still a lot of unknown with them right now. And hopefully by the time we come back for our next episode, which will be post SummerSlam, post Takeover, we'll have a better idea of what's going on.
And the interesting thing to note about Retribution is it's not been the same people under the masks every time.
Yep. It's just been a bunch of the enhancements and developmentals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like there's rumors that it could be like Dominik Dijakovic in the group and, you know, some others, but it'll be actually one of the rumors that I heard, two of the members could be Dijakovic and Ciampa. That would be a very, just those two alone in a faction.
Well, the entire main roster's already dead, if that's the case.
Yes. Because those two guys are fucking amazing. Love Ciampa's those guys.
Just going to kill everybody.
And the interesting thing is that Orton legitimately wants a feud with Ciampa, which would be really cool to see. I actually.
Orton's going through this nonsense with Drew Galloway at the moment.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to that when we talk about SummerSlam.
Yep. Which is actually a good segue into this part of the conversation here for news and notes. So it is being rumored by both WrestleVotes and then confirmed by Spectrum News 13, and as being reported by the Orlando Sentinel, which is the article that I actually have up in front of me, is that WWE is reportedly planning to air SummerSlam live from Amway Arena on August 23rd. There is on News 13.14, John Alba, I guess that's like an Orlando station, I guess, showed the company's production trucks unloading equipment at Amway Center on this past Friday, including LED boards similar to those picturing fans at NBA, NHL, and MLS games during the current pandemic. So, and then it's also noted that starting on Monday after SummerSlam, Raw and SmackDown are going to begin running their shows on a closed set at Amway Center, although rumor also has it that they could have SmackDown this upcoming Friday be the beginning of shows being done at Amway Center. However, the NXT will remain at the Performance Center and or Full Sail, because they plan on reopening the Performance Center back up for actual training sessions and stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and they're looking to do this Amway thing long term, right?
Yes, this looks to be like a long-term plan, which means WWE is probably paying Amway a decent amount of money to say, let us film here to get our shows done. Mm-hmm. Now, so that's kind of interesting. Now we should note these are rumors. WWE has not officially come out and confirmed this yet. We're still waiting on that confirmation. However, they did confirm Payback for the week after SummerSlam.
Which is correct.
Because they did, in fact, confirm that Bayley and Sasha will be defending the women's tag team titles against an unknown opponent at this time. They announced that last night on SmackDown. So, now we're going to do a little NXT talk. We're going to go into NXT TakeOver, then talk actual full-blown SummerSlam talk, and then we'll go into the positive side of wrestling. Velveteen Dream has returned to NXT TV, but it is being reported that there is still a considerable amount of backstage heat on him. there have been more details about Velveteen Dream and how he is viewed backstage by Fightful Select. They have revealed that Velveteen Dream's return this past Wednesday was kept very private backstage. Virtually none of the talents knew about his comeback until minutes before the show in which he returned. Dream, had a real name Patrick Clark, has been on the receiving end of significant heat for a long time now, mainly due to behavioral issues. It's also been reported that he's been given preferential treatment in several situations, and it was noted that any other superstar in Dream's position would have been fired based off of the behavioral issues and the other several situations that he's been given preferential treatment in. The heat hasn't ceased to exist, as it was prevalent during his return as well, and it was added that the company has not given any updates on the potential disciplinary action that may have been taken against Velveteen Dream, and especially the fact that he is one of the people who was spoken out to in the speaking out movement. Yeah. And we don't even know if what WWE is doing in regards to that. If there's like an investigation, or if they're just brushing it under the rug, because it came out that the gentleman that spoke out about Velveteen Dream, the moment he debuted, came back on television, he was like, "I'm pissed," and stuff like that. So yeah, that's he's back, but there's a lot of heat on him. So
yeah, I know for a fact there were at least a few people that were watching NXT on Wednesday that when the Velveteen Dream came out, turned over. I was one of them.
Yeah, and it's so sad because, you know, we were so high on him because we literally looked at him as like the legitimate future of WWE, because Patrick Clark has that it factor. He gets it in the ring. He knows how to tell really great stories in the ring. He was able to like take himself and reinvent himself as the Velveteen Dream. And like, we've been high on him. Like, we remember how we marked out for him when we were at NXT DC at the Anthem. And now you look at him now and you just go like, what the fuck happened to you, dude? So,
I mean, there's not a lot else to say, is there really? Like,
not really at this point. I mean, the only thing that can be noted is that Dream is expected to take on Finn Balor in one of the second chance matches, which also the other one being Johnny Gargano versus Rich Holland. Johnston Q Wrestling Gargano. I'm sorry. Don't yell at me, sir.
I was about to say something, but you corrected yourself.
You know, obviously with those two fighting for the chance to be in that ladder match at TakeOver for the North American title. So yeah, with that, let's just segue right into NXT TakeOver, where we look at the card. So right now there's four matches in here. You have the ladder match for the vacant NXT North American title. You have Bronson Reed versus Damian Priest versus Cameron Grimes versus the winner of the Johnston Q Wrestling Gargano versus Rich Holland match versus the winner of the Finn Balor Velveteen Dream match. I think they're going to go with Rich Holland and Finn Balor going into that to be placed in that match.
I don't see a takeover without Johnny Takeover.
Yeah. Honestly, I could see him being like a fifth match being added to the card.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. If you actually look at the North American title picture, Bronson Reed, Cameron Grimes have both never had a legitimate match on a takeover. Damian Priest was on the last one with Finn Balor. Rich Holland, this would be his takeover debut. Mm-hmm. And then obviously between Balor and Dream, it's kind of a toss-up. It would actually be kind of cool to put Balor into it, because then you can kind of continue that back and forth with Damian Priest that they had from the last takeover.
I think they're putting the belt on Finn Balor.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But I also know from stuff that I've read is that the backstage, they're very high on Ridge Holland, which is also why I see Ridge Holland being put into that match.
Right. I don't know.
But I agree with the idea of putting the title on Balor.
Bringing Balor back to NXT, he needs a belt.
Yeah.
Right. And he should have had a belt before now.
Yeah. Next match that we have is a singles match for the NXT Women's Championship. Io Shirai defends against Dakota Kai.
I want Io to win this, but I feel Dakota may.
Yeah. you have
shenanigans.
Yeah.
To set up Dakota Tegan down the road.
Yeah. You have Adam Cole, Bebe versus Pat McAfee.
Literally the only match on the card I'm legitimately interested in. Let me rephrase that. I don't find Dakota Kai that interesting. Like me some Io Shirai, not a big fan of Dakota Kai. The ladder match, it's going to be cool because it's a ladder match. But like, I'm not a big fan of Bronson Reed. I'm not a big fan of Damian Priest. I'm not a big fan of Ridge Holland. I'm not a big fan of Velveteen Dream anymore. I like Cameron Grimes. I like Jonathan Hughes wrestling Gargano. I'm a fan of Finn Balor. But some of those might not even be in the match. And I could give two shits about Karrion Kross. Yeah. So of the four matches that are announced, the only one that legitimately has my entire interest is Adam Cole, Pat McAfee.
Yeah, and real quick, I'll just throw it out there so everyone knows. Obviously, singles match for the NXT Championship, Karrion Kross versus Keith Lee. Keith Lee is obviously defending. Going back to Adam Cole, Pat McAfee, I will say this. I don't like Pat McAfee. I just don't like listening to him. When they first brought him onto the NXT kickoff shows for the takeovers, I was like, can somebody just like cut this dude's mic? Because when he talks, I want to punch him in the throat every time.
On the other hand, love listening to Pat McAfee. He works the mic so brilliantly well.
Oh no, don't get me wrong. I think he does work the mic really well. I just don't like listening to him talk. I don't like his voice, legitimately. Maybe if I punch him in the throat enough times, I might actually fix his voice for him. You know? I'm not a fan of it. But I don't know. But I like the fact that this is also possibly going to turn Undisputed Era face.
Mm.
Which, you know, let's be honest. After a while, you need something to kind of flip the script a little bit to... I mean, let's be honest. We also kind of, even though Undisputed Era is the dastardly heels all the time.
Everyone loves them.
Everyone cheers for them anyway. So it's like, it doesn't really matter from that perspective. But
the weird thing for me has been when they were doing the run up to Survivor Series and they put Pat McAfee on commentary on SmackDown, he was nothing but complimentary about NXT, right?
Yeah.
And then in this program, he's been like, fuck NXT. And I'm like,
it doesn't make sense.
Come on, dude.
It's like, but dude, Cole's promo on NXT though.
Yeah.
Straight fire on McAfee.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, I'm the longest running NXT champion. You can suck my dick. You know, it's like, but actually the cool thing, at least from McAfee, is that, and I will give credit where credit is due. Like, when we had Stephen Amell wrestle at SummerSlam a few years ago, he actually trained for the match.
Yeah.
He took the time to train for it. He took the time to train for his match with Christopher Daniels at All Out or All In. You know, Stephen Amell took it seriously. Pat McAfee is doing the exact same thing as Stephen Amell. He's taking it legitimately seriously. He's actually training with, like, Rip Rogers, who's trained several WWE superstars. So, He's putting in the training. He's putting in the work. So when him and Adam Cole get in the ring, is he going to be great? No. But he's going to be able
to be competent.
He's going to be competent enough to help tell the story in the ring. And yeah. And we know Adam Cole's going to carry the match.
Oh, yeah.
But at least the story is not going to be some convoluted, fucked up mess. Because at least he is taking the attempt to put in that work.
When... It was a very... Like, Pat McAfee made a very interesting tweet the other day. And he was like, okay, it's on now. Now I've got to not look like idiots, like those two idiots from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. Yeah, because those two guys just literally showed up and just made a whole joke of the thing. They didn't.
Yeah. Like, when a famous person makes an effort, you can tell, right? Because you've got, like, your Floyd Mayweathers that just show up and embarrass the Big Show. And then you've got your Stephen Amells, and you've got your, and a lot of people give him flack for it, but Lawrence Taylor, right? He actually gave a crap.
Yeah.
Right.
Like Lawrence Taylor put in, like, I read stuff about, like, the training regimen he put in just for that match with Bam Bam. And how he actually was picking the brains of wrestlers to say, hey, you know, what should I do? How should I make my ring style look? You know, being how I'm not an actual wrestler, I'm a football player. So, like, I think when you get the guys who actually put in that work, it really does mean something at the end of the day. And it makes it special too at the same time. And I can really respect that. So
Yeah. But yeah, it will be very weird to have a takeover without Johnny Takeover. So I hope they do add a fifth match.
I think they will wrestle. I think they're going to add at least one or two matches, because a four card match feels very small unless they plan on. Right,
but the ladder match could be like an hour long.
That's true. Either that, or they can actually make the Karrion Kross Keith Lee match actually longer.
I hope like, not. I hope they just shoot Karrion Kross into the sun.
So,
hang on, let me check something. Keep talking.
Yeah. So, I anticipate, you know, additions to this card, especially like, you know, like I agree they could make the ladder match like the first hour, and then like the second hour could be like EO and Keith Lee, and then the third hour could be like Adam Cole or something like that, because usually they go like 2.5 hours for the takeovers. Yeah, it's just interesting to see. I don't know, we'll see, but I do agree it wouldn't be a takeover
idea. The first ladder match for the North American title, which was Adam Cole, EC3, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, and Velveteen Dream, went 31 minutes.
Okay. So that kind of gives you an idea of where that can go with six guys.
Yeah.
Or five guys.
You got a lot of people that are bigger in this one.
Yeah.
Bronson Reed, Damian Priest.
Yep. So, yeah, and then Io Shirai, Dakota Kai can at least go 20 to 30. Yeah. Cole McAfee could, if you can get a good 20 minutes out of McAfee, you got yourself a good match there.
Yeah.
And then Keith Lee, Karrion Kross. I know you want to shoot Karrion Kross into the sun, but again, that's another one where if you can get a good 30 minutes out of that match, just those four matches alone, you have yourself a very solid card. You just need to add that one more match to kind of flesh it out, because here's the thing. What's the one title we haven't mentioned for this card yet?
Tag titles.
Mm-hmm. Which are on Imperium. Yeah. Could we get a rematch of Imperium versus Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly?
Maybe.
So that's always a possibility. What could go on the kickoff show if they do that? So, you got some things there that you can seriously ask in that regards. Also, the Cruiserweight title's not up for defense. So you
yeah.
So there's a couple things that they can actually also add in. They could add in two more title matches. They could, I mean, hey, why not? I mean, it wouldn't make sense, but it'd probably be a good match to watch anyways. But Gargano versus Escobar for the Cruiserweight title.
Big good match.
Why not? You know, it, I mean, storyline, it wouldn't make sense. But it would still be a good match.
Yeah.
So, just throwing some ideas out there if anyone listens to us, you know. But so that's NXT. We'll obviously cover this when we come back in 2 weeks for our regular show. Which brings us to SummerSlam, the one
just before we move on. There is something I want to say, and it comes to Karrion Kross. Remember back in the day when people had to earn NXT title shots?
Yes.
Yeah. Me too. I miss those days.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, do it be a great opportunity. I know he got it on Wednesday night on NXT, but do Tyler Breeze versus Escobar again for the Cruiserweight title. Do Kushida versus Escobar for the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
I mean, at least with Kushida, you could draw in that storyline with Drake Maverick a little bit more. Because Maverick is still feuding with Escobar. So, we are now here. We're here for SummerSlam. The one, as they're dubbing, you'll never see it coming. WWE is just kind of throwing these taglines to pay-per-views now.
Yeah, it's weird.
Well,
one match is called They'll Never See It Coming.
Which is the Orton McIntyre match. But they're using it as a way to promote the entire card at this point.
Are they? Okay.
Yes. And then also I can confirm that Payback is in fact August 30th, which is the following Sunday after SummerSlam.
But they're not, like, it's not called SummerSlam, You'll Never See It Coming. It's just like a tagline for the show, right? It's not like the horror show at Extreme Rules, which is...
Yeah, exactly. Because like with Backlash, they use the greatest wrestling match of all time or whatever.
Ever.
They use that as the tagline for Edge versus Orton.
Right.
But they used it also for the main marketing of Backlash as well.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that same deal as Backlash compared to Extreme Rules. And go figure, it's based around a Randy Orton main event match. Yeah, so
the thing is, you never see the RKO coming, and apparently you never see the Claymore coming. So
Yep. But you can also technically use it also for one of the other matches, which we'll get to in a moment. So I'm going to start off at the top. We don't know the official order. I think these are all just being posted as they get posted in. So, match number one, according to Wikipedia, you're going to have a Raw Tag Team title match where it's the Street Profits defending against Andrade and Angel Garza.
Yeah, there's been this cool little side storyline about one of the Street Profits got poisoned and...
Yeah, it was Montez.
Yeah.
Got poisoned. And it's obviously added into, like, where Zelina Vega was doing a Twitch stream and Bianca Belair just, like, showed up and just started kicking the crap out of her live on Twitch. This match could be good. I've never been the biggest Street Profits fan. Mm-hmm. I love Montez Ford, though.
Yeah, you do.
But I just really like Montez Ford. I think he has so much great potential in him.
I can't stand him.
Yeah.
He's way too over the top for me.
Yeah. I as much as I like to see Andrade and Angel win the tag team titles, I see the Street Profits retain.
When was the last time the Street Profits actually defended the belts?
They were supposed to at Extreme Rules, but then that turned into the whole thing with the Akira Tozawa and the ninjas, which, let's be honest, that was kind of cool.
Right, but...
But no match. I think the last time they might have defended was maybe Backlash or right after Backlash. Something. Yeah, it's been a while. You have the WWE Championship title match where Drew McIntyre is going to defend against Randy Orton.
What a... Yeah.
I think this was just a matter of circumstance.
It's been, they tried to make the build as interesting as they can, right, to be honest. And Orton's done some really good heel work, carrying on from the stuff he did with Edge. Now he's doing stuff with Flair and
McIntyre. Well, and like I said, I think this is also a storyline of circumstance, because if Edge hadn't been injured with the tricep injury,
this would have been the blow-off.
This would have been the blow-off match between Edge and Orton.
Yeah.
And now we're going to have to wait, because that's now possibly going to be either A, the Royal Rumble, or B, WrestleMania, depending on how fast Edge heals up.
Yeah.
So this, and not only that, but you're not getting Brock Lesnar, because he's pretty much like, I don't want to wrestle unless there's fans. That's his legitimate stance. So who else can you have challenge Drew McIntyre right now?
If they'd spend time building it, literally anybody.
Yeah, exactly. But who's the most build-up guy right now who can't finish off his feud? Yeah. It's Randy Orton.
So I just hope Orton doesn't take the belt.
I do too. I really don't want Orton to take the belt, because, let's be honest, the one thing that Orton and Edge feud does not need is the title.
Yeah.
And I understand one reason for wanting to take the title off of Drew, and that's because when they have Drew win the title back, they want him to win it in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
They want it to mean something. So, like, if they take it off of Drew and put it on Randy now, and then Randy, say, drops it to somebody else later on down the road that's not Edge, because he hasn't had that match with Edge yet. Mm-hmm. Or hell, maybe have Edge screw Orton out of the title.
Yeah.
The build up into that third match. Like, and then have McIntyre just go on that rampage to get that title back. And then when you're in front of,
I'd much rather he just kept the belt.
Oh yeah, no, I would much rather he kept the belt, but you know, you gotta look at all the different scenarios. But I agree. I hope they keep the belt on McIntyre. I think McIntyre's been a great champion during this pandemic era.
Yeah.
Because he's been able to tap into something as the champion that I don't think Orton or anybody else can really tap into.
Yeah.
And that's the fact that McIntyre is willingly talking into the camera as if he's actually talking to the fans.
Yeah. The two people that I feel have really benefited from cutting promos in the WWE in this day and age has been McIntyre and Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
They've both been really good.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I think this has helped. And not only that, but you know, even though we're not the biggest fans of them, you gotta kinda give it up to Bayley and Sasha too. They've taken this and I know you don't want to, and that's fine.
You really don't, because their promos are awful.
But they're taking advantage of it regardless. They really are. Whether it's good or bad, they're taking advantage. And that's right. The key thing.
But taking advantage isn't always good, right? The thing with Seth Rollins and Drew is being able to talk in a more low-key, more personal way has upped their promo game.
Yeah.
Right? You can't say the same for Bayley and Sasha. They're both just still garbage. Bayley's theme, low key banger.
Yeah, I love Bayley's new theme. It's awesome. Moving on, we have Apollo Crews defending the United States title against MVP with the new belt on the line. I actually like what Crews said when he actually won the new belt and was asked about what he was going to do with the old belt. And he said, I'm going to hang it in my son's room. That was actually kind of like that, again, like low key banger. I like that, because it's like, no, I'm going to hang it in my son's room. I'm going to show him. I want him to see the history of the title, you know? And it, not only that, but let's be honest, it was long overdue to upgrade, you know, to change the look of the United States title.
I'm glad you didn't stick with upgrade there, because it's not an upgrade.
Yeah, no, it wasn't an upgrade. What the title that I would kind of wish they kind of brought back was kind of like more of like that
WCW one. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? We'll have this for a few years. They probably could have done a little bit more blue on it, but it is what it is. I think Apollo wins and retains and continues on.
I don't think so. I think MVP is getting the title back. The Hurt Business need a belt. And they don't have the 24/7 title anymore because Shelton Benjamin lost it before they even officially became the Hurt Business. Yeah. And Bobby Lashley isn't getting the title anytime soon. So the Hurt Business need a title.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer to see Apollo keep the belt, but I agree with that sentiment as well. This Hurt Business needs a title. Because, like, especially with, like, these types of factions and stables and stuff, what's the one thing that helps legitimizes them? A title belt.
Yeah.
So, next up, you have a singles match between Dominic Mysterio and Seth Rollins, where Seth Rollins is allowing Dominic to use weapons in this match. One thing I would like to note, we have seen Murphy as the disciple for Seth Rollins, but we haven't seen Austin Theory in a while as a disciple.
You mean the disciple?
Disciple. I'm sorry. I can't speak. It's still early for us.
Early. It's fucking 10:30, dude.
I know. Disciple, Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen Austin Theory for a while. Mm. And it's because, and again, this is all rumor-based. We don't know what's going on. But apparently Austin Theory is possibly suspended. And for what, we don't know why.
Yeah.
And for whatever it could be very serious enough, and we've heard this before with Velveteen Dream, where he could get fired.
Right, but then Velveteen Dream didn't, so...
Exactly, that's why it's like you got to kind of take some of these things with a grain of salt with what's being reported. But yeah, so you have Dominic Mysterio versus Seth Rollins. I'm going to call it now. This is the piss break match. As much as I love Seth Rollins.
Let's see what else is on the card. No, this isn't the piss break match.
So, okay, I think this is going to get combined into one match. So, on Monday Night Raw, Asuka beat Bayley for the right to face Sasha Banks for the Raw Women's title. Last night on SmackDown, Asuka won the tri-brand battle royal for the right to face Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship. It is being billed right now where Asuka is going to be wrestling two matches at SummerSlam for both titles. Either A is going to get turned into a two-on-one situation where if Asuka pins one of them, she gets that title. Or B, she actually wrestles both matches. And I will put it in the perspective like this. One way or the other, Asuka is walking out with the Raw Women's Championship.
I think she's walking out with the SmackDown Championship.
Really?
Yep.
See, the reason I see her with the Raw is because, technically speaking, Sasha and Bayley are both SmackDown superstars.
Right, but hear me out here.
All right.
Of the two... Bayley has been champion for the longer amount of time, right? So her losing her belt, especially if Sasha is involved in the finish, is more likely to set off the chain of events that will lead to Bayley versus Sasha.
Right.
Also, Bayley is the one that took out Kairi Sane. So Asuka needs to get a modicum of revenge for Kairi, and taking the belt off Bayley can be that.
Mm. Yeah, I actually agree with all those points there.
If Bayley has to stand around for a few weeks doing for Sasha what Sasha did for Bayley, Bayley's going to lose her shit, basically. Yeah. And I think that's what's going to lead us to Sasha versus Bayley eventually.
I like that. I like that. That's why they should hire us to book this shit sometimes.
And by us, you mean me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I've never unveiled how I would fix AEW's ranking system. I actually have it kind of written down of how I would fix that fucking mess.
It's absolutely easily fixable.
I know.
With one change. So all you need is one change.
Yeah, So
when you have a title shot, your match record resets to 0-0. Yep. Fixes everything.
Yep. Next up, you have Braun Strowman defending the Universal title against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Last night, we saw on SmackDown that Braun Strowman had actually shaved his head to take on more of that monster look. I'm not going to lie. He actually looks better without the hair than he does with the hair.
He looks like the Big Show.
I didn't register that until just now when you said that. Stop that, Ben.
It's the Braun Show.
Yeah, it's the Braun Show.
The anyway. Big Strawn.
So you got Strowman versus The Fiend.
And as I tweeted last night, I'm fairly sure that The Fiend is going into this match as the face.
Yeah, which is so weird. And honestly, with the way the promo went down last night between Alexa, where she literally slapped the fucking shit out of Braun. Man, everyone always talks about Stephanie McMahon slap. Alexa slap. I have this weird feeling that we actually could see The Fiend get its first legitimate defeat. If they continue this, if they continue it the way they're going, we could actually see that.
I don't think so. I think this is going to be another, like, no contest.
Like the way with that Hell in a Cell between Seth and...
Not necessarily that, but like I think there's going to be more to it. Because the whole thing is everyone that comes into contact with The Fiend gets corrupted, right? And I think... one of a few things is going to happen, right? One, they're going to go the really lame route of the fact that Alexa and Braun have been working together all along to just screw with The Fiend's head. Two, they're going to go along the lines of Braun being the heel and the Fiend being the face, right? And like something's going to happen to Alexa and he's going to use the heel glove rather than the hurt glove or whatever. I don't know. Or they're going to do the really, really stupid thing is that when they fell into the swamp, The Fiend jumped into Braun's body. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. We'll see. I mean, we got another week of television before SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So we'll see how like stories continue to flesh out that way.
Yeah.
And then this match was actually just added last night. It is Mandy Rose versus Sonya Deville in a hair versus hair match.
This is the piss break match.
I'm still sticking with Dominic Mysterio. I'm actually invested in Sonya, so.
I am too, but.
I think Sonya's going to lose.
It's just, it's. This feud was really, really interesting with the whole Mandy, Sonya, Dolph, Otis thing, right?
Yep.
And then maybe 2 weeks ago? Is it 2 weeks ago? 2 or 3 weeks ago. Sonya attacks Mandy backstage, starts cutting bits of her hair off, right?
Yeah.
And Mandy does absolutely nothing to fight back. She just sits there and takes it. And I'm like, you're a WWE superstar. Throw a hand.
Yep.
And then the next week on Raw, they take... And now, admittedly, the image of Mandy at the end of the attack from Sonya was quite harrowing, where she had the blood and her hair was all fucked up and shit, right? And then the very next week, they think the best way to continue the feud is have Miz and Morrison basically make a hair puppet and take the piss out of Mandy. Therefore, undercutting any level of seriousness that had come from the week before. They've completely undercut the feud before it even began. I just...
But I'm interested in it.
And at least with Dominic and Seth, I get to see Dominic get the crap kicked out of him, which would be good.
I think Sonya's going to lose. She'll have her head shaved. And I think that could actually be her way of also going over to Raw Underground and starting the fight in there.
We'll see.
We'll see. Because I know Dana Brooke has expressed interest in doing Raw Underground too. And I also want to go back real quick for the SmackDown women's title real quick. That Battle Royal, when you got to the Final Four, you had Dana Brooke, Tegan Knox, Shayna Baszler, and Asuka. And Dana Brooke was like hiding outside the ring for a little bit. And it was actually great because it let Tegan Knox shine. Like Tegan Knox was taking it to Asuka and Shayna and was like hitting a lot of her big moves up until she went to try to do the choke slam on Shayna Baszler, which was then what led to her eventually getting eliminated from the match. So, but props to Tegan for the nice showing on last night on SmackDown.
I've always been a fan of hers. I was a big fan of hers when she was in the English indie scene as Nixon Knoll. In fact, funny story, right before the first Mae Young Classic, we were doing Awesome Mania at Awesome Con.
Yeah,
and people were like, "Who do you think is going to win?" And I was like, "Nixon Knoll." And everyone was like, "Who?" And I was like, "If she's in it, she's winning the whole thing."
And then she injured her knee in the first round.
And then fast forward to a year later, and she won it. And I was like,
"No, she didn't."
Yeah,
Tony Storm won it.
I'm thinking of Tony.
Kairi Sane won the first one. Tony Storm won the second.
Okay,
one, yeah.
Thanks. I made a mistake.
No, that's cool.
I'll just keep correcting you every time you make a mistake. It's great. But fast forward to, 2 years after that, first time, and everyone knows who she is now. She's Tegan Knox, and she's had NXT title shots.
Because they also built Tegan up pretty well because she came back from the first knee injury and then like almost immediately injured the other knee.
Yeah.
So she was out for like almost 2 years because of that with the knee surgeries. Mm-hmm. So, and then what was supposed to be her big first marquee match was supposed to be War Games. But then
Big marquee matches before that.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah.
There's so much wrestling content in her brand.
She started making a name for herself on the actual NXT TV.
Mm.
She was actually having matches on NXT TV.
Yeah.
And she was doing like...
Oh, that's right, because it was Kaylee Ray who came out of nowhere that was put into that match. That's right.
Yeah. Because she was doing a bunch of skits and stuff with Team Kick, with her and Dakota, because they had to build up the team of her and Dakota to have when the turn happened. For actually to mean anything.
Yeah.
So.
That's right. Yeah. Because they're a Team Kick and all. So, so that's SummerSlam. That'll be Sunday.
I'm really not invested in this entire weekend of wrestling, man. Like, Pat McAfee and that's kind of it. Pat McAfee, Adam Cole is the only match that's really got me interested.
I mean, we got to see what other matches could potentially be added on to TakeOver because they're still at 4 matches right now. And
but you won't have the build for it because it's like a week.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So. And as like the build is half of what... And sometimes... I'm very outspoken about the fact that sometimes... you can make a story out of I'm really good at doing other wrestling, you're very good at doing other wrestling, let's have a match to see who is better at other wrestling.
Yeah,
but that's, you can't build every feud that way, and this is one of those times where if they add a match it's just going to have no build and it's going to feel weird.
Yeah. So, but yeah, we'll see. So with that, it's now time for the positive side in wrestling or something positive in wrestling. I guess I'll start. Then you'll go into it.
Sure. You go first.
So mine is actually the emergence of Joseph Park on WWE television. So for those who don't know who Joseph Park is, that is like the alter ego to Abyss, where pretty much Chris Park made Joseph to be the brother of Abyss. And in TNA, it had some really great storyline where he's like trying to find his brother and some pretty good stuff there. Joseph Park is playing the role of AJ Styles' analytical guy to pretty much make fun of like all the analytic people out there in like sports and wrestling and stuff, which I'm okay with. They actually call it PISS, the Phenomenal Institution of like Statistics or something like that. But the acronym is PISS. So like they come out with the board and they do the presentation, and Joseph Park's facial reactions to everything is amazing. And I was telling this to Ben before we recorded, it's like it almost felt like Paul Bearer, like those facial reactions and stuff like that. It like I was watching that and I was just like, that's really fun and it's really cool. And it's just disappointing that the title match that's been created for next week on SmackDown isn't going to be on SummerSlam like it was originally built to be, which is Jeff Hardy versus AJ Styles. So, but yeah, no, my plus is Joseph Hardy.
What is it with Jeff Hardy getting bumped from pay-per-views?
I don't know, but apparently AJ's kind of pissed because apparently this feud was supposed to be started a while ago between him and Jeff.
Yeah, well.
So, but this is the positive thing in wrestling, and it's Joseph Park.
Okay.
The fact that he finally got his chance to be on WWE television, and we'll see where it goes for him.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. I've struggled to come up with a good thing this week, especially since Matt Cardona stole my t-shirt idea. For a bit of context on that, I made the joke that he should call himself Zach Cardona and team up with Cody, and they should call themselves the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. But instead, they call themselves the Sweet Life of Matt and Cody, which is weird.
I remember sending you that tweet when it first came out.
Yeah,
that was a great response.
Yeah. I've had a real hard time coming up with a positive in wrestling this week, this fortnight. And I think I'm going to have to fall back on one I've done before, but because of the prevalence it's taking now as well, which is the return of the Alexa Bliss storyline. It was my favorite. It was the only thing of worth to come out of either mixed match challenge. Outside of a few promos between Sammy and Becky, and one gif of Asuka giving the Miz double thumbs up, the only thing of worth to come out of the initial mixed match challenge was the Braun Alexa thing. And when it basically just went away, I was really sad. So to see it come back at Extreme Rules and now play through the last couple of weeks and into the SummerSlam match, I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And Alexa is probably the best thing about this feud.
Gotta feel bad for Nikki, though.
I don't. I mean, I do, but I don't. Yeah. Because the tag team was getting stale. It had completely changed everything that Nikki was as a character. She wasn't Nikki anymore. She wasn't. Hopefully, it leads to better stuff for both people concerned. The only problem I have is in splitting up Blitzcross. They've just made the pool of women's tag teams smaller again, which is why they're scrambling to put the Riot Squad back together.
Yep.
Right. Well, they're scrambling to get Liv and Ruby back together. Because I would be surprised if they're not the people that Sasha and Bayley aren't defending the titles against at Payback. Because it's the only other choice is the Iconics. Yep. The only other choice of teams.
Whatever happened to that tag team being formed between Carmella and Dana? Whatever happened to that?
What?
Exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, my good thing in wrestling is Alexa Bliss. Her performances last night on SmackDown with the sit down interview, and then in the ring with Braun were really strong.
Yeah,
really good. She's carrying that feud at the moment almost. So.
Yep. So with that, Ben, where can the people find you on the socials?
Lots of places.
Good answer. Let's move on now.
You can find me on Twitter at Bob T. Goldfish. Oh, wait. I'm supposed to be. Hey, you can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me over at
txhthockey.com/VFTG.
For our sister show, Voices from the Grid, which will be coming out
soonish.
Soon, TM. We're putting the finishing touches to season one now.
Yep, I'm editing together the last three episodes, sending one of them over to you, and then we just got to record a couple little things, couple
more intros, and then we'll be good to go.
And then we should have a statement out announcing when the debut will be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yep. You can also find me every 2 weeks doing some writing over at
txhthockey.com/VFTG.
/ Ben's Dash Journey.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Yes.
Where I post up my thoughts on Power Rangers. My Voices from the Grid is a Power Rangers podcast. And over the last year or so, I have watched 13 seasons of Power Rangers and counting. 14 if you include season one of Beast Morphers. And every 2 weeks, I am releasing a column of my thoughts on those seasons. And at the time of recording on Monday, the release should be Lost Galaxy.
Yep.
The unofficial end of start of... It's weird. Read the column.
Yeah. So,
and then you can find me and my good friend, Jordan, Mr. NNJ, over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Yep. Where we do the streaming of the video games. And, we've been trying to do a bit more of that recently. Even if it's just a couple of hours while we're doing dailies and stuff rather than just doing it off screen. We announce that on Twitter when we go live. So follow me on the Twitters.
Yep.
What about you, Mike?
You can find me on the Twitter at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And of course, everything's on txhthockey.com and for the show /awesomemania. Yep. So that's where you can find me. Ben just gave me the thumbs up. So with that, Ben, take us out.
Well, here we are on the verge of a weekend of a lot of wrestling. To say, guys, gals, and non-aligned pals. the word to the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. Be excellent to each other. And party on, non-gender specific honorifics.
And ladies and gentlemen, until next time, we will see you ringside.
Peace.